Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Gardaí are continuing to appeal for information following a fatal crash on the main Burntfoot to Bunquanna Road last evening. The Fianna Fáil Justice spokesperson says if there is a hard border after Brexit, more Gardaí will be needed in border counties. An emergency licence has been granted to enable Billy Caldwell return home to Northern Ireland. And Letterkenny University Hospital is the joint most overcrowded hospital in the country today. Those stories to follow on Full Plus More, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming live from Ballyliffin at about 5:15. But first in news, the Justice Minister has told the Dáil that Garda management is aware of the political debate around Brexit and will be ready for any eventuality after the UK's withdrawal from the EU. Charlie Flanagan was responding to the Fianna Fáil Justice spokesperson Jim O'Callaghan, who said if there is a hard border after Brexit, more Gardaí will be needed in the border counties. He told Minister Flanagan that Ireland needs to be better prepared.
We need to be prepared for the potential of there being a hard border on the island after the 29th of March. We know from what George Hamilton, the Chief Constable of the PSNI, has said, that he feels he will need approximately 400 extra PSNI officers to police the border if it is the case that a hard border is imposed. We know that there are nearly 250 border crossings between the two jurisdictions on this island. We need to be prepared for it, no matter the fact that the agreement within this house is that we don't want a hard border. It could be imposed upon us. Remember, the border was put there, imposed upon us, without the people of most of the island having a say in respect of it. We need to be better prepared, Minister. We need to take on board, for instance, what the Garda Representative Association have stated in respect of the increased demand on the Garda Síochána should there be a hard border. They've indicated that we would need approximately 100 extra Garda Síochána along the border to, in order to police it, if it is the case that a hard border is imposed upon us. I know that we have a new Garda Commissioner. In fairness to him, he will have significant knowledge of the two jurisdictions and the border, but I think you really need to sit down with him, Minister, and meet with him and plan for what we hope will not happen. But unless we're prepared for it, we'll fail in respect of it.
Responding, Minister Flanagan said that planning groups have been set up within his department and also within Garda Síochána in preparation for the forthcoming Brexit scenario.
Just to confirm to the Deputy that I have already met the new Garda Commissioner Designate. I look forward to working closely with him. I understand that he will take up his position in very early September. I agree with Deputy O'Callaghan. He brings a unique perspective on the matter of policing across the island of Ireland. And I look forward to continuing to work closely with him in this regard. I want to say that there is contingency planning in the Department of Justice. A working group of senior officials was established to manage the Department's response to carry out a risk analysis of the UK's departure. Planning to date with regard to the Department has focused on how the withdrawal agreement would work in practice, not only contingency planning, but also the future relationship. Deputy O'Callaghan mentions Gardaí, and I wish to assure the Deputy that on Garda Síochána is fully aware of the ongoing complex negotiations regarding Brexit. Garda Síochána is committed to ensuring that the organisation is prepared fully for any possible policing implications and challenges arising therefrom.
Thank you, Minister.
A high-level team composed of managers from across the Garda Síochána has been established by the Commissioner. Scoping exercises in anticipation of Brexit have been conducted.
The motorcyclist who died in a fatal collision on the main Burntfoot to Bunquanna Road yesterday evening has been named locally as Eddie McIntyre, who was in his 50s, from Craigtown Fawn. The crash happened at around 5:30 in the townland of Castle Quarter when a car and a motorcycle collided. Mr. McIntyre was pronounced dead a short time later. Inspector David Murphy is renewing their appeal for information.
Now, our appeal is our people who were in the area, who were travelling in the area at the time, if anybody saw anything of any significance, that they would make contact with us here at Bunquanna Garda Station. The contact number here is 074-932-0540. There was quite a volume of traffic, understandably, on the road at the time. We did get good assistance from the public, and a number of people have already come forward and provided their details, and we will be making contact with them in the course of the investigation. But if there's anybody who may not have been speaking to a guard at the scene yet, I would ask them to make contact with us here at Bunkana, and we can possibly pursue a statement or an inquiry with them at a later stage.
And is there any vehicle description, or do you see any benefit in releasing a vehicle description? Maybe people may have, you know, in the lead up to the incident.
Well, the motor car involved was a silver Hyundai i40 saloon. It was a Donegal registration, and it collided with a black motorcycle. I believe it's a Harley Davidson make. And as I said, we do expect that there would have been quite a volume of traffic in the area at the time. You know, if anybody happened to observe either vehicle in a short time before the collision, would also be interested to hear from them.
Northern Ireland's Department of Health has issued an emergency licence for the use of medicinal cannabis in the case of 12-year-old Billy Caldwell. Billy from Castlederrick had been living in London since a licence for the use of the medicinal cannabis was granted by the Home Office for treatment at Chelsea and Westminster Hospital. Catherine Gaffney has more.
12-year-old Billy Caldwell, who suffers from severe epilepsy, had travelled to Canada last month to obtain medicinal cannabis after his prescription for the treatment was revoked. On return to the UK, the medicine was confiscated from his mother Charlotte at the airport. In the days following, without the medicinal cannabis, Billy suffered a number of life-threatening seizures, and with persistent lobbying of the Home Office to return the medicine, an emergency licence was granted for Billy to receive the treatment at Chelsea and Westminster Hospital. There were calls for the emergency licence to be transferred to Northern Ireland so that Billy could return home. And in a statement issued today, the Department of Health in the North says they are in discussions with the Home Office to finalise arrangements for the immediate transportation of the medicine from London to the Belfast Trust.
A South Donegal TD has told the Dáil that the reluctance of insurance companies to insure cars that are over 10 years old is an unfair policy, which he believes is more about making money than reflecting safety priorities. Sligo Leitrim and South Donegal TD Eamon Scanlon says most recent figures show nearly 140,000 cars on Irish roads over 10 years old, up over 300% from 3 years ago. He says that reflects the importance of ensuring that the insurance market is not close to the owners of these cars.
Quite honestly, I can't understand this, and I think it's a step in the wrong direction. Now, I know insurance companies have increased premiums substantially over the last number of years, and this is a trend I wouldn't like to see happening. Cars are NCT'd, they're well serviced and well looked after, and cars are lasting much longer than they used to. This is allowed to happen. It'll devalue other cars. If you're talking about a car 7 or 8 years old, it's going to substantially devalue that car if you're going to have difficulty insuring it when it's 10 years old.
Insurance companies will argue back that they base their premium on their own observations and analysis and actuarial interpretation of the figures that they have and the payments that they make, and they'll say, well, we are implementing this measure because our figures tell us we have to.
No, look, I'm sure you drive along the road as I do and you see cars in them. Sometimes you'd have to just check and see someone that could be 15 years old and the car's in perfect condition and well looked after. And these cars are NCT'd on a yearly basis. There's no reason for this, only grabbing money. That's what I think it is, and it can't be allowed to happen. There's only two winners in this situation. One is the insurance companies and the other are the car manufacturers. And I'm very, very concerned for the smaller garages, and Donegal is no different than Sligo or Leitrim or Roscommon, where you have small garages servicing cars, employing 2 and 3 people, tyre shops as well, providing tyres for cars. These people are going to be badly affected, and we'll have a lot of job losses in the rural areas. We haven't much in the rural areas, but at least we have those little businesses employing 2 and 3 people, and that will come under threat as well.
Letterkenny has been ranked as the joint most overcrowded hospital in the country today, with 26 people waiting admission there this morning. 4 people were waiting on trolleys in its emergency department, while a further 22 were waiting on wards. The number is up 2 on yesterday's figure of 24. University Hospital Limerick also returned 26 as a number of people waiting there. Nationally, there were 279 people waiting at hospitals across the country today. 150 jobs are coming on stream in Sligo over the next 5 years. US company Phibro Animal Health is opening a new biotech facility in the IDA Ireland Finisglin Business Park. They'll produce animal vaccines and is Phibro's first biomanufacturing location in Europe. CEO of the company, Jack Bindham, outlined to Ocean FM the type of jobs being created.
The development to 150 will be over a few years, but these are technical jobs. These are jobs in manufacturing, these are jobs in filling, these are jobs in laboratory.
A Donegal County Councillor believes that there shouldn't be changes to local authority rents. A new report has suggested that rents be increased to help fund accommodation for low-income households and to take the money directly out of social welfare payments. The research conducted by housing charity Threshold and the Housing Finance Agency has also called on the government to stop the tenant purchase scheme that allows families buy their council home. Councillor John Campbell has been giving his reaction to the data. He says that the current format works well, with profits benefiting other much-needed services.
That's one of the aspects I wouldn't agree with. I mean, I think the differential rent system that's based on income and your ability to pay is one of the parts that works very well. And as I said, we look at, despite the selling off of council housing, despite that, we still create a large profit in that sector, which, as I said, is spent in other areas of the council. So no, I wouldn't agree that we need to increase rents. I think that, again, the differential rent system provides that floor. No, I have no problem with the continuation of tenancies within the family. It is a family home. People often, as I said, have lived or grown up all their lives in it. And in a lot of cases, what you'll find is that it may be a son or a daughter that has ended up looking after a parent in the home, and to say that once that person has maybe passed away, or that there's no entitlement to continue living in what is your home, I don't think is a good idea, and it's not one of the major problems or blockages within our system. Now again, going back to the right to purchase or selling off the housing, if you maintain your housing stock, if you increase your housing stock, I think one of the things they talked about in the report was the ability to downsize or upsize at different times, and that's what's limited when you sell housing stock.
Live coverage on Highland Radio Sport from the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open at Ballyliffin is brought to you by Audi Sligo, your authorised Audi dealer for the Northwest. Find out more at audisligo.ie.
It's now 5:15 and time to go back to Oisin Kelly, who's live from Ballyliffin.
Yeah, thanks, Michaela. Welcome back to our coverage as the first round of this Dubai Duty Free Irish Open comes to an end. Ryan Fox, the New Zealander, continues to lead here from the chasing pack by one shot at 5 under. But then Padraig Harrington is the best of the Irish at 4 under. And to be honest, there hasn't been much change on the scoreboard over the last couple of hours affecting the leaders. And as the day went on and the course dried out and the spur of the greens got quicker and stuff, Dennis, it's proved to be a lot tougher for those guys that started in the afternoon compared to the guys in the morning.
It certainly has, Oisin. It has been a significant test, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you mentioned Ryan Fox is the leader. He shot a 67 earlier today, and most of the other scores in the 60s were actually shot earlier today as well. And Padraig Harrington, a terrific round from Padraig Harrington, as you say, and that was inspired by an eagle on his 8th hole, and then he had 3 birdies and 4 holes on the back 9, and he's within a shot of the lead and leading the way from an Irish perspective at the moment. Of course, you've Rory McIlroy is out on the course at the moment, and Rory's missed a load of putts, but he's still going along nicely, I have to say. He's he's a few under. He's 2 under par after 14 holes, 4 to play, and Shane Larry was going well. He was under par too, but he's since dropped a shot. He's now picked another one up, so he's 2 under par again through 13. So Larry and McIlroy going very nicely in the afternoon.
Yeah, if they were to stay like that going into tomorrow, would they be happy enough with their first round, do you think?
I definitely think they would. That'd be a very, very solid opening effort. And who knows, tomorrow maybe the pins are tucked away today. The pins might be put in the middle of the greens tomorrow and somebody go out and shoot a decent score.
See Lee Westwood sitting at 4 under. He's still got, 5 holes left to play, does he, off his first round. Tied for second in that group along with Harrington. Westwood, would he would be good enough to share the lead or move ahead in those closing holes, do you feel?
Yeah, he could do. He's played very, very solidly so far. No mistakes. He's had four birdies and no drop shots. So he's going along very, very nicely. He found something on the range over the last couple of days. He said in his press conference, or the lads were talking to him there earlier in the week, and he felt as though he had found something. So that certainly has shown itself to be true. He's doing very, very nicely, four under par through 13 holes, and is likely to be there or thereabouts come the end of the day. But it's interesting, Ryan Fox, who was leading, he's actually the son of the New Zealand rugby winning captain Grant Fox, so obviously the talent runs in the family there, Oisin.
Let's get some reaction from Padraig Harrington following his opening round today, and he was quite happy to be the clubhouse leader when he came off the course after the 18th.
You know, I didn't even know I was one shot off the lead. There you go. I'd seen somebody at one stage. I don't try and look at leaderboards. I saw somebody at six, so I just knew four on the par is a nice solid score. You know, you're never going to be far away with that. And this golf course, and assuming we get a little bit of wind during the week, you know, four on the par is going to be well there, and you just keep trying to nudge a little bit forward every day. You know, certainly don't expect to shoot four under every day, so it's a good start to the week, keeps the momentum going.
Padraig Harrington, good round for him, best of the Irish, one off the pace at the moment. We were keeping an eye, of course, on one of the locals, the really only local in the field, and that was Rory McGee, who finished up on a level par after coming through today with a 72. And Dennis, after a shaky enough start, we were impressed by Rory McGee after that.
Very much so, Oisin. A terrific bounce back after he bogeyed his opening hole and then went on to double the third. So he was three over after three, and three subsequent birdies and no other drop shots. And he's a level par 72, and he's currently in the top 40. And a good round tomorrow, and you just never know.
Yeah, his target is going to be now to make it to the weekend and get through with the cut. And it's a Saturday when he came off. After his first round, he spoke to Highlands Kenny Harkin.
Hi, I'm happy enough after the start I had out there. I'd have bogeyed the first, doubled the third, so had a bit of work to do.
Listen, you have great Donegal links with Rosapenna, and you have a lot of family from Donegal, and you must be very pleased to get around on that score today.
Yeah, no, it was great. It's lovely to be playing Donegal as well. Obviously, you know, living half an hour away, like, it's great, and yeah, it's been unbelievable with the normal Donegal weather as well. So.
Tell me, you must be now... It's too much to look forward to, and with the second round to come, it'd be pretty nice to make the weekend.
I don't see why not. Go out and, I just had a bit of bad luck at the start today and played perfect the rest of the way in, so I don't see, just continue that and hopefully we'll be here for the weekend.
Great finish too, by the way.
The 18th was, that tee shot just sends me out there for some reason, and no, I don't know how I scraped a par there, but I'll take it.
That's Rory McGee, the man who is from Derry, but of course has represented Rosapenna as an amateur. Strong family connection to the Downings and Kerrygard area level par. Dennis, we're just watching the screens. Rory McIlroy continued to hit the ball well, so he is. He's looking impressive.
He certainly is, Oisin. He's played really, really well today. The putter has gone cold on him, and he's three birdies and one single bogey on his card so far. But he's missed three or four makeable putts, so he could well be tied for the lead or in the lead. And I'm sure he'd be pleased with the way he's striking the ball, and it's just a matter of getting a bit of luck in the greens, and he could make a real charge for this tournament.
Just finally then, any other highlights from the first round today?
Yeah, obviously we had a hole in one earlier on, which is it's a rare bird, and it's nice. It's anybody who was there to witness that was a special moment. But I think Padraig Harrington's round of 68 is terrific. I mean, Padraig, he is a links specialist, as we all know, and I think of all the Irish sportsmen, he was once voted, I think, the most popular Irish sportsman, and I think it would be fantastic to have Padraig Harrington in the mix, and I hope he is.
One other note, John Rahm's got a bit of work to do. Is he good enough to pull back from where he is?
You know, he is. He's supremely talented, but he's got a really fiery temper. Yeah. Like, you could see he was really... he was out there today and he was getting annoyed with himself, and the clubs were flying and all sorts of different things. The one thing is, he wears his heart on his sleeve, Oisin, but he'll need to go out and shoot low tomorrow even to make the cut.
Dennis, we appreciate you joining us today on Highland Radio. Many thanks for your expert opinion once again on how things are panning out here on the first round of the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. We will, of course, have an end of day wrap available in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com, coming up very, very soon indeed, when the remaining players come off. the course, and that includes Mr. Rory McIlroy, who has got a couple of holes left to play off his first round. And we will, of course, have a further action live from Ballyliffin Golf Club from the 2018 Dubai Duty Free Irish Open tomorrow Friday on day two. But it's now time for the rest of today's sports news.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, now stocking a wide selection of Brooks running shoes.
Okay, then we go to Gaelic Games. Donegal's football Super 8 meeting with Dublin will go ahead at Croke Park as planned. Donegal officials met with the GAA today, but it was accepted to continue with the current Super 8 format that was democratically adopted at Congress last year. However, the new championship structure will be reviewed by Central Council later this year, with all counties invited to submit their observations. Under the current structure, all first Super 8 games are played at Croke Park, with the subsequent games played home and away. Donegal's issue surrounded the fact that Dublin will also be using Croke Park as a home venue for their meeting with Armagh. After the meeting, County Chairman in Donegal is Mike McGrath. He spoke with Donald Kavanagh for Highland Radio.
We had a difficulty in Dublin recognising Croke Park as both a neutral venue and also a home venue. And we also further challenged, you know, how any team could nominate Croke Park as a home venue. It was acknowledged, you know, and it says that in the statement, that there was nothing in the current rules to prohibit that part of it. But we were satisfied with the second part that's in the statement, which outlines what the review is going to consist of at the end of this year.
And Donegal was very much pushing to have that review completed as quickly as possible and this issue considered in depth as part of that review. The fact remains that Donegal now potentially finds itself at a disadvantage going into the Super 8 matches in the coming weeks.
That's up to everybody to perceive what they wish to read into it. We certainly, as a county board, felt that there was an level playing field. And that how can a county declare Croke Park as both a neutral venue and also as a home venue? And really the main bone of the contention of today's debate and discussions, you know, deliberated around that. So we're satisfied that Croke Park have agreed with us, and they've endorsed that Central Council later in the year will look and submit the observations of other counties, but they will also be willing to submit, if the feeling of Central Council is that there's an unbalance in the current structure of it, that they will certainly put that forward to Congress for 2019's competition.
That is Donegal County Chairman Mick McGrath speaking to Donald Kavanagh a short time ago following that meeting between Donegal GAA and the GAA at Croke Park earlier today on the Super 8 issue. In soccer, fixture tonight in the All-County League Division 1, St Eunan's are playing Gweedore. That one's due to throw in at 7:30 at the O'Donnell Park. In soccer, Wexford have apologised to their players and supporters after being docked 3 points and fined for fielding an ineligible player at last week's win over Athlone. Thomas Croke came on as a second-half substitute, Atlas Wallen, despite him being suspended. Wexford say the incident was purely down to human error. While on the tennis front, men's third seed Marion Sulich has been beaten in the second round of Wimbledon. Last year's runner-up lost out in five sets earlier today to Guido Pella. No issues, however, for Rafa Nadal and Novak Djokovic, and women's top seed Simona Halep all safely through to round three at Wimbledon. And that just about wraps up our live coverage here today from the Gulf, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open first round. We will, of course, have a wrap online for you when the rest of the pack come in to end their first round. And there's continued coverage across the board tomorrow, of course, on Highland Radio as we go back to the studio. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. Finally, for weather now, a dry and bright end to the day across much of the northwest with good sunny spells. Winds will be light or moderate and north to northwest in direction. Lowest temperatures tonight of 9 to 12 degrees in light winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a motorcyclist who died in a fatal collision on the main Burnfoot to Buncrana Road yesterday evening has been named locally as Eddie McIntyre, who was in his 50s from Craigtown, Fawn. The crash happened at around 5:30 in the townland of Castle Quarter when a car and a motorcycle collided. Northern Ireland's Department of Health has issued an emergency licence for the use of medicinal cannabis in the case of 12-year-old Billy Caldwell. Billy from Castlederg had been living in London since a licence for the use of the medicinal cannabis was granted by the Home Office for treatment at Chelsea and Westminster Hospital. A Donegal County Councillor believes that there shouldn't be changes to local authority rents. A new report has suggested that rents be increased to help fund accommodation for low-income households and to take the money directly out of social welfare payments. And Letterkenny has been ranked as the joint most overcrowded hospital in the country today, with 26 people awaiting admission there this morning. Four people were waiting on trolleys in its emergency department, while a further 22 were waiting on wards. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 5th of July. The death has taken place of Margaret McAree, Kinahan Kilmacrennan. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass on Saturday to St. Columbus Church, Kilmacrennan, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice. House private, please, after 10 o'clock. The death has taken place of Eddie McIntyre, Craigtown, Fawn. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Patsy Patrick Doherty, now head Muff. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Michael Barr, Bally MacArthur, Greencastle. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Parkinson's Association of Ireland, care of Liam Collins, funeral director, or any family member. The death has occurred of Eunan Crumlish, Chapel View, St. Johnson. His remains will repose at his late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock to St. Bathan's Church, St. Johnson, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. House private, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Mickey Boyle, Manchester, and Mina Totten. His remains will repose at Midlands Funeral Home from 6 o'clock this evening, with rosary at 9 o'clock. Viewing tomorrow evening at 5, with removal at 7:45, going to St. Cronus Church for 8 o'clock, where he will repose overnight. Funeral on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. The death has occurred of David Enfield, 280 Back Lane, Remelton. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral service in St. Paul's Church of Ireland, Remelton, tomorrow at 12 noon, with private cremation in Lakeland Crematorium, Cavan, at 4 o'clock. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Irish Heart Foundation, care of any family member, or Con MacDade funeral directors. And the death has taken place of Oliver Hegarty, 159 Laurel Drive, Strabane, and formerly of Ballymagorry. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Millmount, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Sacred Heart Cemetery, Derry Road, Strabane. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Northwest Cancer Centre, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight.